out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 30th of September 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I've got a few news stories to get into today. One that I did want to mention happened over the weekend and over the week last week, and it's about a BBC journalist, presenter, newsreader, I guess you could call her. She's, well, very hard to actually tell what she actually is. I've always been confused about her, quite whether she's black, whether she's an Indian. She's got quite sort of Caucasian looking features, but doesn't look like an Indian. And she's got very dark skin and strange proportions, particularly small, which you don't really associate with Negroes, you associate with Indians and sort of Pakistanis being fairly short. So it's been very hard to actually determine quite what she is. The common term would be mystery meat, I guess. But because of this news story, this BBC scandal, I've discovered that she's actually half African and half Indian. So that must be what that particular blend looks like, I guess. But she's in the news because she is being censured. She's been given a dressing down by the BBC because there have been complaints about her biased behaviour. And the biased behaviour goes back to Donald Trump's tweet, which was about the four non-white communists in the Democrat Party in America, when he said that if they don't like America, perhaps they should go back to their own countries and fix those countries first. Now, this was widely criticized throughout the world as being an extremely racist comment for him to make. But he wasn't saying all non-whites should go back to their own countries. He was saying these four particular people that appear to hate America should go back to their own countries and fix them first before they start criticizing America. That's what he was saying. So she was discussing this, and I happened to see the discussion, and they both criticized it as being racist, and then she started speculating on his reasons for sending this tweet out. And it seemed to me as if as she was saying, oh, he's just done this because he hates non-whites. He's done this because he wants to smear Mexicans and blacks, it's because he just hates them. And I just thought at the time, how dare she say that? How can she guess the president's reason for sending this tweet out? The reason for sending that tweet out was to criticize the four people that it was aimed at. And quite rightly, people have written into the BBC and complained about this and said that it's not her place to speculate on the reasons why Donald Trump has done something when she's reading out a news story, because it sounds as if that's the official BBC position, is that Trump must have done it for this reason. So she was rightly criticized for this, and the BBC, in their response to the criticism, they said it was fine that she said that it was racist. That was accepted by everybody as being a racist statement. But what was wrong was that she can't speculate on the reasons for why he did it, which is quite understandable. Yet the reporting of this has been completely remiss. None of the reporting has actually shown her speculating about his reasoning. It's just shown you the bits where she called him racist and said, oh, I've suffered racism myself. On top of that, About 150 black and non-white media people, actors, journalists, what have you, they've all written in to the BBC complaining, how dare they criticise this non-white employee of theirs, because she's non-white, basically. And none of them have understood quite why she's been censured like this. And they've all made it about that, oh, the BBC is not allowing its journalists to call out racism when they see it. And it's just really symptomatic of what happens when something like this occurs. All the non-whites will get together and back up this one non-white. And if they can't argue against the actual criticism of them, they will create a straw man, which is what these non-whites have done. They've created this straw man that the BBC is criticising and punishing this presenter because they pointed to racism. And that's not it at all. And we see this happen time and time again. I just thought I would point it out because it's a good example of it. And the BBC are colluding with it because in all the news stories about this, as I say, they're not actually showing you the bit where she was speculating about Trump's reasons for sending the tweet. It may not seem that important to you, but it's been quite a big scandal over here in Britain over the last few days. Also over here, we've had a lot of complaints from the left about Boris Johnson talking about the Surrender Act, this Hilary Benn Act that has been pushed through Parliament by the opposition MPs that effectively ties Boris Johnson's hands so that he can't leave the EU with no deal. Now, because Boris Johnson has called it a Surrender Act, these shrieking harpies on the left are claiming that this is tantamount to death threats and it's encouraging death threats. And Jess Phillips was on the BBC News this morning, talking about all these death threats that she's had over the weekend, how she's had to have special protection, and it's all because of Boris Johnson's inflammatory language. It's just absolutely insane that they could claim that Boris Johnson is encouraging extremists to go out and attack left-wing politicians. They won't take any responsibility for their actions. If Jess Phillips is receiving death threats, it's because of her actions. It's not because of Boris Johnson's actions. It's because she is trying to frustrate the democratic will of 17.4 million people in Britain. And other times that she's criticised, it's because of her rampant hatred of men and her constant promotion of feminism. And that's why people go after these feminist MPs, because they don't like what the feminist MPs themselves are saying. It's got nothing to do with Boris Johnson criticising them. And it's just absolute hypocrisy. This is really going to cause the Conservative Party to win with a landslide, I think, the next time there is a general election. And that's why the left are refusing to allow there to be one. And of course, at the moment, we've got the Conservative Conference that is going on. And outside the Conservative Conference, you've got mobs of left-wing activists threatening all this violence against them. None of it's being covered by the BBC. There's a particular report on it that I found here that was in Breitbart. As the mainstream media pushes the narrative that anti-Brexit MPs are being endangered by inflammatory language concerning their surrender to the EU, left-wing activists have hanged effigies of Tories from a bridge. Now, I've seen the picture of this, and it's quite alarming, actually. I mean, it's quite sort of lifelike bodies hanging from nooses from a bridge. You just imagine what would happen if a nationalist activist had hanged an effigy of David Lammy from a bridge. I mean, they would be looking at prison time, and it would be international news. This isn't being mentioned anywhere apart from on Breitbart. For days, mainstream media broadcasters such as Sky News and the publicly funded British Broadcasting Corporation have been giving great prominence to the claims of Remain MPs such as Paula Sheriff and Jess Phillips that Prime Minister Boris Johnson describing parliamentary legislation designed to force him to ask the President of the European Council for another Brexit delay and accept whatever extension he is offered, subject to parliamentary approval, as a Surrender Act, is putting their lives at risk. Seriously, that's what they're saying. They're saying their lives are at risk and they've had to have increased police protection, and it's all because of Boris Johnson calling it a surrender act. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with their own actions. Who does that remind us of, I wonder? The MPs, many of whom sit on the Labour benches, and have not been shy about branding Brexiteers as fascistic, extremist, and much more besides. I mean, I've heard them calling Jacob Rees-Mogg a Nazi, calling Donald Trump a Nazi. I mean, there's been much worse than just calling them fascists and extremists. And this has come from Labour MPs, not just their supporters. They have claimed talk of surrender and betrayal of the voting public is inflammatory and could inspire a Joe Cox-style killing, claims Boris Johnson described as humbug to howls of fury. And again, has everybody forgotten what actually happened when Joe Cox was killed? Somebody just right out of the blue went and killed her, and we still haven't been given a reason for why he actually killed her. I don't think he said, I'm killing her because of the things that the Tory party was saying in Parliament. And if he had a reason for killing her, it was obviously something that she had done or said that had upset him. I mean, we can speculate that it may have been because he was having his house taken away and that was being given to Syrian refugees, but we don't know for certain just what it was. It certainly wasn't inspired by tweets or anything like that, because the guy never went online. I mean, they constantly bring up this Joe Cox killing and link it to things that people say online. And this person that did this, he didn't even have an online presence. However, much more overtly inflammatory behaviour is taking place at the Tory party conference in Manchester, where left-wing activists have, not for the first time, hanged effigies of Tories from a bridge, along with a banner reading 130,000 killed under Tory rule, time to level the playing field. And that is very reminiscent of the unfortunate tweet, I guess it was, that became linked with National Action and saw them being banned as a terrorist organisation, where they said words similar to one down, another 350 to go. And that's pretty much exactly the same as what's being said here. 137 killed, time to level the playing field. There's a quote here from Tory MEP Daniel Hannan. He says, this is what actual incitement looks like. The outrageous claim that Conservatives are deliberately killing people is habitually made by Labour MPs, including Jeremy Corbyn himself, he accused. Yet they complain that calling their collusion with Brussels a surrender act is incitement. Pure humbug. However, while media coverage of the incident is not non-existent, it has been notably subdued compared to the prominence given to covering and discussing the inflammatory language claims. As I say, there was about half an hour given to Jess Phillips on the BBC News this morning, claiming that Boris Johnson calling it a surrender act has necessitated her to have a police escort all weekend and she's terrified of being assassinated, when you've got actual incitement to murder being carried out by left-wing activists right outside the Tory conference and no mention of it whatsoever. Now, interestingly, over the weekend, there was a Daily Mail article that actually pointed out some instances of Labour MPs and people on the left saying the most unacceptable things. I mean, genuine incitement to violence. And it's pretty shocking, really. Pretty close to the bone, some of them. And the first one here, I should have come down here with a bat and smashed your face in. And that was said by former Shadow International Development Secretary Kate Osamor, talking last year to a reporter from The Times who had asked her for a comment on a story about her employing her son in her parliamentary office. She threw a bucket of water over the reporter, told him to F off, and then rang the police to accuse him of stalking her. And I do believe that's the same black politician that actually ended up in prison for 6 months for perjury, for lying in court in order to escape a speeding fine. Next one we have here. Labour MP Jess Phillips, and here she is talking about Jeremy Corbyn in 2015. The day that you are hurting us more than you are helping us, I won't knife you in the back, I'll knife you in the front. And that's her using violent language in spite of condemning John McDonnell for using it. Yesterday, she criticised the Prime Minister for using language that inflamed hatred and division. Next one here, Owen Collins, and this is him writing earlier this month. Just watched The Riot Club, and it's genuinely left me wanting to burn every single Oxford College to the ground, preferably with every single Tory MP inside, one at a time. The Conservative Party is a cancer on this country. And when do you ever hear people on the right saying things like this? And if they were to say anything like this, as I say, we would be locked up. Labour councillor Kerry Ann Mendoza, the editor of the Corbyn-supporting Canary website, responds to a suggestion by Tony Blair's former spin doctor Alistair Campbell that he might return to Labour following his expulsion earlier this year by saying, "You can F all the way off, then just when you think you've effed off as much as it's possible to F off, I'm going to need you to dig deep and F off a little bit more." So that one's just vulgar, rather than inciting violence. Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell, when discussing a Sack Esther McVeigh Day organised in 2014 by Labour activists opposed to the then Cabinet Minister, had this to say. "There was a whole group in the audience that completely kicked off. They were arguing, why are we sacking her? Why aren't we lynching the bitch?" And fellow Labour MP Jess Phillips said the comments were utterly despicable. And this Jess Phillips is such a hypocrite. John McDonnell again used his blog in 2015 to honour IRA terrorists. He said, "It's about time we started honouring those people involved in the armed struggle. It was the bombs and bullets and sacrifice made by the likes of Bobby Sands that brought Britain to the negotiating table. The peace we have now is due to the action of the IRA." I mean, it's no idle criticism that the top tier of the Labour Party are IRA supporters. And just about anything that is anti-British, they will support. Dr. Paolo Gorbaudo, a lecturer at King's College London, at a conference of the Corbyn-supporting Momentum in 2017 said, "My answer is hate. Make the left hate again. I am full of hate these days." A Guardian editorial published online this month had this to say. "Mr. Cameron has known pain and failure in his life, but it has always been limited failure and privileged pain. Had he been trying to get the system to look after a dying parent rather than a dying child, he might have understood a little of the damage that his policies have done." Again, that's really just personally insulting. But basically what The Guardian is doing there is using the death of David Cameron's son to score political points. Andrew Stafford, a long-standing Labour councillor in Enfield, North London, when speaking to a young Conservative during a 2015 debate, had this to say, "Sit down, you C-word." He apologised later, but rejected calls to step down. I mean, how offensive is that during a debate? I wonder if that debate was televised. David Hopper, General Secretary of the Durham Miners Association, speaking after the death of Lady Thatcher in 2013, had this to say, "We will have a hell of a time. We will have comedians on and bands, and we are going to enjoy ourselves. There will be a lot of men wanting to have a drink and celebrate." And that's really tasteless. I mean, the woman is dead. She can't do anything else, and these guys are still alive. I mean, we really shouldn't speak ill of the dead, no matter what they did in their lives, because they're no longer here. They've had the ultimate punishment. They can no longer live. Finally, we have a mob of left-wing supporters holding signs demanding Tories out in a video published online last month, and this is what they had to say. "People often ask us what it is that makes us tick. It's Boris Johnson's head upon a stick, stick, stick." I mean, just the double standards here are just incredible. If any of those things have been said by right-wing people, they would have been accused of incitement to violence, incitement to racial hatred. But it's perfectly acceptable to do it if you're on the left. And they don't appear to have any concept of self-reflection, any idea of what it means to actually look at your own behaviour and try to live up to the behaviour that you expect of others. It's just sheer hypocrisy. But I'm sure it's not going to end. It's not going to end soon, and we'll see more of it as the week goes on. Next and final story that I've got for us today is about a Muslim of the year. And she's been shouting, jihad is the only solution. And she's tried to walk that back, obviously. And she's come out with the usual excuse that they have. Oh, jihad doesn't mean violence. It does mean violence. And it's quite clear from the context in which she said it that she meant violence. Police are investigating an activist once nominated for a Muslim of the Year award after she was filmed telling a rally that jihad is the only solution. Sumaira Farouk, 38, made the statement during a demonstration in Birmingham last month, attended by hundreds of people protesting against India's plans to strip Kashmir of self-rule. Ms. Farouk, a journalist and founder of the Muslim channel Noor TV, has defended the phrase and said that jihad simply meant a struggle. She claims to have been singled out because she is an outspoken woman in a headscarf, the Daily Mail reported. Yes, that's right. It's got nothing to do with her calling for violence against the infidel. It's simply because she's wearing a headscarf. Again, this is the sort of deflection that these people will do. They will always come out with a straw man to attack rather than actually addressing the issue. In the video, she is seen on the steps of the city's council house telling the crowd, there is only one slogan for today. It is remove curfew from Kashmir. Let them live their own lives. Nothing more than that. And one thing to truth tell to the Muslim community, there's only one solution, which is jihad. No protest, nothing, just jihad. And you can see there that it has to be violent action that she is talking about, because she is saying no protest. Protests aren't enough. Nothing else, just jihad. So she's not simply meaning a struggle there. She's not meaning a spiritual struggle. She's not meaning simply protesting. She's not meaning direct action. She is meaning extreme violence. I mean, jihad taken to its extremes is war against the infidel. Miss Farouk was a finalist in the Business Woman of the Year category at the British Muslim of the Year Awards in 2017. She was a member of a faith group set up by Andy Street, the West Midlands mayor, to organise a meeting aimed at tackling community divisions, and has been photographed with the Prince of Wales. Last April, she congratulated Sajid Javid on his appointment as Britain's first Muslim Home Secretary, writing on Facebook, may Allah bless you with more courage to work for the community. Mr. Javid is now the Chancellor. Can you imagine if when Jacob Rees-Mogg got put in the position of leader of the House, if a prominent white businessman had said, may God bless you with more courage to work for white people or to work for the white British. I mean, they would be accused of discrimination at the very least, and racial hatred more likely. But it's perfectly fine for her to expect Sajid Javid to be working exclusively for the Muslim community rather than for everyone else. And as it says there, Britain's first Muslim Home Secretary. If he's there on his merit alone, then why does it matter that it's the first Muslim that's been put in there as Home Secretary? And this is actually one of the big drawbacks about Boris Johnson being in power, is that he's put non-whites into a lot of very important positions. And he's made no bones about it. It's so that he can promote diversity and say, look how diverse the Tory party is. And we saw last week what happens when you have people put into positions of power that are just there because of filling a diversity quota, when we saw all these absolutely dreadful women in the Labour Party attacking Jeffrey Cox and attacking Boris Johnson last week. And every argument they made was completely demolished by the other side. And because it was demolished, they started appealing to emotion and getting hysterical. None of them had any gravitas. None of them had, none of them appeared to be elite people or at the top of their game. It was just like, well, what is the difference between them and somebody on the street? You want people that exceed in everything that they do to be leading the country, not people that have just been put in there because of what race they are or what sex they are or what gender they think they are. You want people in there on merit. It's quite clear that Sajid Javid has not been made Home Secretary on merit. He's been made Home Secretary because he's a Muslim. Getting back to this article, the word jihad refers to any kind of struggle in Islam. However, it has violent connotations because of its use by Islamic State and other terrorist groups. I mean, what a load of nonsense that is, as if the word jihad had never been used to mean violence before until the last 10 years when Islamic State came about. Jihad has always meant violent struggle. It was jihad when the Muslims came into Europe. It was jihad when they took over Bulgaria, when they took over Spain. It's always been jihad when they have attacked the infidel. They may say today that it means a spiritual struggle where they try to spiritualize these things. But that's a modern interpretation by liberal progressive Muslims. It's not what the mullahs will tell you. I'm surprised at the Daily Mail pushing that here, because what they're doing is excusing this Muslim that was calling for violent jihad on the steps of the council hall. Miss Farouk told the Daily Mail, "The meaning of jihad is not a particular one meaning. If you have a problem with the government of the UK and you want to raise your voice, the struggle is called jihad in the meaning of Islam. Muslims know the meaning of the word in that context." Why then do we never hear of Muslims calling for jihad against the government if that's all it means? The only time we hear Muslims calling for jihad is when they mean armed conflict. She says, "Do you think I'm the kind of person who would use that word to encourage people to go and fight? I work with communities and the British military encouraging the Asian community to join the army. How can I encourage violence?" Well, she is there encouraging violence, and she is a Muslim, and that's what she's encouraging there on the steps. I mean, well, what does she mean? How can the Daily Mail think she's the kind of person who would do that? We've seen a video of her doing that. We can see it with our own eyes and hear her with our own ears. Asked if it was wise to use the word in the present climate, she said, "The people who are criticising me are the ones who don't want a woman to speak out." Again, there we go, straw man argument once again. She makes it all about feminism there, and oh, the people that are worried about this, they just don't like equality. So it would have been okay if it had been a man that was calling for jihad. Is she saying that wouldn't have been in the newspapers if a male Muslim of the year had been calling for jihad? That wouldn't have been covered. She says, "There are men saying we are going to get freedom with guns. People are chanting bad words saying come out and fight, but they don't get investigated. People always attack me because I'm an outspoken woman." Well, how about you tell the police then who these people are, who these Muslims are that are saying we are going to get freedom with guns and come out and fight so that they can be arrested for encouraging jihad. She said she did not regret her choice of words, adding, "I am very clear with my words." There you go. She was deliberately saying this. She says, "As a human, it is our responsibility to raise our voices for the people of Kashmir. That is my meaning. Stand up for the people who are suffering." She's not saying stand up for the people who are suffering. She's saying don't protest, go to jihad against them. The footage of Miss Farouk at the rally on August 31st was passed to the West Midlands Police at the force's request. A spokesman for the force said, "We are assessing the content to see whether any criminal offences have been committed." And I bet she gets away with it. All she's got to do is get in some mullah as an expert witness to say, oh yes, jihad doesn't necessarily mean violent jihad. And because of her brown privilege, she'll be let off. And how they can allow Muslims in as expert witnesses in these cases where Muslims are on trial, where it's against Islamic law for Muslims to inform on their other Muslims. If they do that, they set themselves up at risk for assassination themselves, and also of being out of favour with Allah. And it's absolutely crazy that they would bring Muslims in to investigate Sharia courts like Theresa May did, do an investigation into Sharia courts in Britain, and who's doing the investigating? Oh, a bunch of Muslims. Of course they're going to say, oh no, they're not trying to implement Sharia law in the UK. They just have these courts there. They're not real courts. They're just there to advise people having problems with their marriage. Absolute nonsense. It's a crazy world we live in. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. Dot.